Well, we've had church tonight. But I got a word to share with you. So get your Bible out. And if you would, find the Old Testament book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 10. So funny because, you know, I don't do this real often, but every now and then I like, you know, I kind of like test the Lord. And this message I've been preaching about revival on Sunday morning, you know, I just really asking the Lord, What do you want to do? I mean, this is something I've preached forever, and you know, what are you saying? And I don't want to be, you know, always. Have you ever think about it when the Bible, when Paul is writing or something, he says, you know, I'm paraphrasing here, but you know, be on high alert for he's coming soon. You know, and 2,000 years have gone by, and I was like, the expectancy he had in his heart right then, and yet, you know, 2,000 years have gone by or whatever. And so, I always talk about, you know, I felt ever since I got saved that we were ready to go to heaven. You know, I look in the mirror, I can't believe I've gotten old. Gotten gray-headed, you know, and I'm like, man, I thought Jesus had been back for now, you know what I mean? That was my expectation. The moment I got saved, I was ready and expecting just to step into heaven and step into glory. And so anyway, I've just been praying about this message. Lord, you know, this preaching about this is about revival, and I understand what you're saying, I understand what you want for us as a people to always have a revival in our life of walking with him. And I said, I did, honestly, I am not exaggerating. I did just like this. I said, Lord, I just need a good confirming word. And I threw it down like that, and my eyes fell on Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. And I said, okay, you've made your point, Lord. I'm going to keep preaching on revival. Because the scripture says, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 12, sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you. That's like, well, do you need to be any more pointed, Lord? I mean, what was funny is it wasn't even the Bible I read out of daily. It was another Bible. And I just, you know, just spun through the pages and just threw it down on the table and boom, there it was. And I was like, wow, you know, Lord, that's pretty pointed. And so I began just to kind of pray about and to look at this whole thing about thinking about fallow ground. And I'm just going to share with you this the same example of what he shared with me in my life, okay, my own personal life. Because on my property, I've got this little two-acre field that has been neglected and abused, but somebody at some time of life somewhere cleared all the cedar off of it and got all the rocks out of it, and there's enough dirt in the bottom of that little draw to, you know, make sort of a little old field. And I don't know what had ever happened to it before I've had it. But over the years, I've tried to plant oats in it, you know, and the deer eat it all up. And then I've tried to let it just go back to natural grass. And then, you know, something happens. And then it got dry in the drought. And it just, this thing just went down to just a, like the carpet, you know. It just, there was nothing growing on it at all. Nothing growing on it. And so, buddy over there was going down the road with a plow one day. And I said, hey, man, why don't you come over and plow my field? So he came in there, you know, didn't take but about three turns, and the field was plowed, you know, and it stirred up the dirt and everything, and then it started raining. And so I'd say, well, you know, it looks like it's going to rain for a while. This is back last March. I said, I want to get some grass seeds. I want to investigate and find some good grass seeds, you know, looked at Klein grass and different love grasses and this. And I said, I want to get some grass seed, and I'm just going to plant some grass seed. So, you know, I don't have anything to plant grass seed right, correctly with. And so anyway, we really did a bang-up job, me and my buddy Dwayne. He's flying around in his Bobcat about to kill me on the back of this little seed slinger, you know. And we threw seed everywhere in the world, and, you know. And so nothing was done correctly. And then we kind of drug a chain or something, or I drug something over it all, you know. And then I just said, okay, Lord, just let grow. And so I'd go out there and look at it every now and then. We got a good rain right after that, you know, and I went out and looked. I said, hey, man, I think I got grass seed growing, you know. And so it started popping up here and there and all, and I began to notice this one section, you know, that, I said, man, that ain't nothing growing there, you know. And so obviously something went wrong with the seed slinger, and I never got any, like a 10-foot swath for the whole length of the field, never got a drop of seed on it. Nothing came up. And then the rest of the field started doing pretty good, and then it rained again, and it started growing, and this stuff was growing up everywhere. Well, as my plant started growing, and I was so proud of myself of having some new grass seed coming out there, then I got to noticing that there was thorns and thistles growing up. And I was like, man, there's a bunch, you know. So I'd go out there and pull a few, you know, and then before long it was like overwhelming, and there was too many, and I was like, man. So I talked to another buddy, and I said, hey, man, you know, what have we got to, you know, spray that stuff or something. You know, I'm diehard on my little field, and I'm going to fight for it. And so I got a bunch of herbicides or whatever it is. You call it herbicides, right, Frankie? And so I got a bunch of herbicide, put this stuff on there. Man, I went out there, you know, and I just toasted everything. And so, you know, killed some of the thorns and thistles and the things that were growing up. And there's this one plant just would not yield. And so I called my buddy back. I said, hey, man, I need something more potent. I mean, I need the atomic bomb to kill this stuff, whatever it is. And so he gave me some more stuff, and he said, this stuff, man, if this stuff don't kill it, man, it's unkillable. You know, you've got some kind of demon weed growing in there. I said, I'm telling you, man. So I sprayed it again, and man, I burnt that stuff, just toasted all the leaves on it, but I didn't kill it. It kept growing. And so he said, well, spray it again. So I sprayed it again, and that time I killed it. But through this whole process of spraying this stuff and doing all this stuff, you know, it was too far along. I fought it too far along, and finally I killed everything. And then, you know, all the other grass grew up, just jumped up. I got rid of the thorns and the thistles and all the, you know, the undesirables, and this grass just grew up, and it just started growing, and man, it all looked good. And I'd drive by the road and I'd look at it and say, man, look at that, you did pretty good. And then one day I turned and I went the other direction over the field, and I looked, and where I had killed all of those thistles out of there, there's still not a blade of grass. There was nothing. In other words, before I ever got the thorns and thistles killed, the grass had already died. And so now I have this strip on the other side. First strip, I know what I did. I missed it. This strip, you know, was the remnant of my production that didn't produce. All right. And the minute I read this scripture about breaking up your fallow ground, in my mind, God just showed me that strip. That here's this beautiful grass growing around everywhere, and then here's this strip that there's nothing in. It's bare. And I started researching fallow ground. And I learned something about fallow ground. I had assumed that fallow ground was I knew it was untilled soil, but my mind was thinking it wasn't soil that had ever been in production. You see what I'm saying? I was thinking it was more like the brush over here that you hadn't cleared and turned it into a field. Not that it had already been a field, but you weren't doing anything with it, so therefore it was untilled soil, but it was soil that used to be producing. Are y'all with me? And so when he said to me, break up your fallow ground, and I was reading the scripture, I was seeing that strip, and I was thinking about how much, you know, let me say it this way, how much harvest I got out of this, all the rest of it. But here was this deal sown in the thorns, and it didn't produce. And it wasn't the ground's fault, it was the thorns' fault, right, that were growing there. Or what thorns that I had left that I hadn't watched over and killed them early, you know, and it had gotten too many. And the Lord just kind of twisted this thing around, because most of the time when somebody says, well, you've got fallow ground in your life, I've always looked at it as, well, it's an area that you're sinning in. You know what I'm saying? It's an area that you're not doing. You hadn't really given it to the Lord, or you're holding it back, or you're whatever. But he turned this whole thing around, and when I saw it, it's like, no, Robert, I want you to produce and be able to produce as much harvest in your life as you possibly can. And if you have a piece of ground that isn't producing, it's fallow ground, you need to break it up so that it can produce. And he said, that's what I'm talking about in this revival. I'm talking about us looking into our hearts and looking into our lives at the areas of our lives that maybe we've sown seed in that didn't bring production, and it's not bringing you a harvest. So let me just say it like this. Some of the examples he gave me. Relationships that really aren't producing you a godly harvest. You sow seed in it, you sow seed in expecting a harvest to come back, but it doesn't produce because the thorns and the thistles in that relationship choke out the seed and it doesn't produce, and it's just fallow. The only way to do it is to break it up. You've got to re-till it. You've got to get rid of those thistles. You've got to get rid of those thorns. You've got to break up the fallow ground. You've got to plow it all up, and you've got to reseed in some good ground. Time. Things that you may be sowing your time into, but it's not really producing a harvest. Y'all with me? I don't really mean that it has to be something like, oh, well, you watch too much TV and you should have been praying more. No, I'm talking about something that maybe you're doing with your time, but it's of the wrong motivation or the wrong spirit, and it's not really producing anything of a harvest back to you. And God's like, I don't want that in your lives. I want you to be productive everywhere, and I'm trying to help you to say, look, there's some fallow ground over here. I want you to break it up. Break it up and till it up, and let's get some seeds on. Let's get something good in this going here. Because what happens to it is it just has become dormant, and it's not producing. You know, I'm sure everyone's heard this, you know, like, they say that we only use 10% of our brains. So you got 90% floating around over there that you're, you know, I don't know what it's doing, just sitting over there wanting to eat potato chips. You know, I always use that example because I always want to eat potato chips. But potato chips just tear my stomach up. I can't eat any potato chip, but I always want to eat them. I go through the store, it's just like, and I think, oh, there's a new one. I bet I can eat that one and tear some stomach up. But I always want to eat them. That's the, I guess, in the 90% that just hangs around there. Or the part that causes us where we can't see anything, you know, that we're looking for in the fridge or whatever. I was trying to find something in the store down here, and everybody said, well, it's right over here, Robert. And I walked right past it. And I said, well, who arranges y'all's store around here? Has my wife been down here? Of course, all the girls laughed. So we know y'all men can't find anything. So let's look at another scripture. Go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 4. It's like the companion scripture to this one. Verse 3. For thus says the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves in the Lord. Take away the foreskins of your heart. You men of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like a fire and burn so that no one can quench it because of the evil of your doings. In other words, God's wanting us to produce. He's wanting us to use every bit of our capacity within our life because he wants to bring us a harvest. It's not a negative, it's a positive. He wants us to produce. But he needs us to plow that fallow ground up so that we can produce. He's not like saying, oh, you bunch of sorry sinners. you got so much fallow ground in your life. You're not good. No, he's saying, look, guys, quit sitting around here wasting your time. Sowing seed amongst thorns. Sowing seeds where it's not productive. Sowing seeds where it's not producing anything. Sowing seeds over here in this or in that that's not getting you anything. I want you to quit that. I want you to break that ground up and let me sow some good seed in the area I want you to so that you can produce so I can bless you. So revival is about blessing. Revival is about breaking up the ground in your life so that God can bless you more. It's not about you giving up or losing something. It's about you gaining everything. You see what I'm saying? He's like, man, don't waste your time with that. Listen, I can tell you all this. You know it, but you do it because I do. It doesn't do you a bit of good. You're wasting, you're sowing seeds, murmuring in ground that will never produce anything. You're sowing seeds amongst thorns and thistles when you worry. You're sowing seeds amongst thorns and thistles when you're trying to get somebody to do something you want them to do, but you're not being directed by God to do it. I said it. Nothing wrong with being nice. Okay, there's nothing wrong with being nice and being godly and telling people about Jesus, but if you're sowing seed where there's just you just keep throwing it on the ground and it's not producing, it should be bringing a harvest. And that doesn't mean, you know, it just means quit it. God wants you to produce. God wants to bless you, and he can't bless you if your ground is only producing thorns and thistles. And I've never seen anything when the Lord showed me this, everything's so evident. When I look at that field, I'm just like, I look at the field, I'm like, what did I was out here trying to grow grass, and you were getting this all prepared to show me an example in life that would stick right to my memory. And so now, you know, I got to go out there and I got to figure out how to plow up that little place that doesn't have anything in it, because I want to go plant some more seed come March, and I want to get me a good harvest so my whole field's all equal. And that's what we've got to do in life. Right? Now, go back to that Hosea scripture for just a second. So look what it says here in verse 13. It says, you have plowed wickedness, and so you reaped iniquity, and you've eaten the fruit of lies, because you trusted in your own way. Part of revival is getting us to understand God has a way that he wants to work in our lives, and he doesn't want us to do it by our own way. He wants to do it by his way. How many of y'all think you've got a pretty good way? Does anybody want to admit it? A pretty good way. You know what I mean? Like, you've got a pretty good idea, a pretty good way of the way things ought to be, the way we do things. Do any of y'all ever play If I Was President? I was president. I would. All I'm saying is that's a part of revival, is coming to our senses and God showing us that our own way of doing things is sowing amongst the thorns, and we need to just break up that fallow ground and say, God, come on, just do it. Show me what you want to do. Because you're going to be so much more productive and so much more blessed, because God's going to bless you. Because now you got good ground. It says, because you trusted in your own way, in the multitude of your mighty men. So in other words, everybody else that was in agreement with you. Right? Therefore, atonement shall arise among the people, and all your fortresses shall be plundered. So, because we're building it all, our kingdoms, on our own abilities, our own strengths. So, you know, it's a simple word tonight, but it's just simply this. We've got to plow up our fallow ground because God wants it to produce so he can bless you. Bless you with everything. Bless you with kindness. Bless you with goodness. Bless you with mercy. Bless you with peace. Bless you with joy. And if you're sown amongst those thorns, man, just get that image in your mind of, man, when I finally killed those thorns, there was nothing there. It had killed everything. There was no harvest. Nothing. But just dead thorn bushes. Right in the middle of my beautiful grass. It's one that I'll never forget about this. Right? Because I see it and I was like, man, where am I, Lord? So this is what the exercise is tonight. Our prayers need to be, Lord, where's my fallow ground? In this time, in this season we're in, you need to be asking and praying and saying, okay, Holy Spirit, show me, where's my fallow ground? Where am I sowing seed in, amongst the thorns? Where's my fallow ground? Where am I not producing? Show me what I'm doing on my own that's not bringing about what your desire is. And you know, the Holy Ghost will show you. The Holy Ghost will show you. He'll tap on your heartstrings and say, it's this. Or it's that. Or why are you expecting this out of that? Hello? That's a big one. We put a lot of expectation in people and in things and things like that we're sowing seeds into when our expectation needs to be in the Lord. And that God's going to bring it about. And He's going to make it happen. Amen? So, everybody say, Holy Ghost, show me my fallow ground. And then we get to plow. Amen? Well, praise God. We've had church. The Holy Ghost and a good word. Amen? So, let's take up our offering. If you need an offering envelope, Bill will get you one. And y'all are going to think, you know, I'm a man who likes, if I tell you I'm going to do something or I'm going to be at your house at a certain time or this is going to happen, I usually make it happen. And I feel just totally shameful, but I can't do much about it. We've changed the date that the orphans are going to be here. And it is now set. Because what was happening was, is they weren't all the kids going to get to come. And I'm like, I want all the kids. There's four. One of them's having some passport issues. Four of them. So we've moved it 1 week back. It's the 17th now of January. We moved 1 week back. The 17th, the kids will all be here. So, I said, well, glory, hallelujah. That's it. I told them that's it. Everybody is locked in. There's no changing. We changed too much. That's it. So this or nothing. So they're all going to be coming up from the valley. They got a 15-passenger van. They're coming up from the church from down there to here and be here for almost a week with us. So that's just a little tidbit of information. So, yeah, it is scary. Yeah, it's scary. We're going to have Ivan, Kimberly, Bethany, Andrew, their three children, Gavin, and the four kids for a week. I'm like, oh, God. They'll tear the countryside down. Huh? Well, they're all staying at the house. Yeah, we'll make it work. So anyway, praise God. It'll be interesting. So put your hand over your offering. What do you got, an announcement? Okay, one more gift. Anybody needs to want to get one more gift? Okay, get Tracy after that. All right, put your hand on your offering. Let's pray. You're too late. You did not raise your hand in time. I'm praying. Father, right now in the name of Jesus, I thank you for blessing these offerings, blessing these people, pouring your goodness out upon them. I thank your businesses are just flying off the shelves and just being, Lord, just more than we can even think or ask of the blessings of God that you're just working in every form of everything in life, whether, Lord, it's just income or however it is. Lord, your hand is upon it. You're touching it. and the people are blessed in Jesus' name. Amen. Now what do you got? God's girls tomorrow at 6. Earlier than usual. Went up 30 minutes. 6 o'clock. It's the big Christmas ornament. Christmas ornament. Exchange deal. Well, y'all be there. That'll be fun. Y'all have fun with that. So stand to your feet. Look at the person beside you and say, I got some plowing to do. So Lord, I just declare that we are the most blessed people in the world because we know you. And I thank you for your hand upon each of us. And Lord, as we go out into the world, Lord, I just thank you. You've given us divine appointments, people to preach to, people to tell all about how good you are. And Lord, we thank you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.